Today's sermon text is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Hear now God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Speak, O Lord, till your church is built, and the earth is filled with your glory.
Please be seated.
So the reason that Easter symbol was up there even momentarily was to tell you why I'm preaching right now instead of 30 minutes from now. I mean, this new schedule is a little bit disorienting. We'll have even more people come probably as the service goes on. But during Easter, we adjusted the order of service, and we'll probably adjust back later. But this is for Easter itself. And what it does is it kind of puts the Word of God central. And let's put the Word of God central in our hearts right now by paying attention to it. Now, we just read from Ephesians chapter 6. Can you believe we're on chapter 6? I can't believe we got to chapter 6. But don't get your hopes up, because I want to go back to earlier in the chapter in order for us to understand our text today. So let's, as we go, I want to share with you, we're going to go back to Ephesians 5:21. And the reason I want to go back to this text here, Drew did such a good job of talking about this text. And what he talked, one of the things he talked about was how people don't know if it apply to all the rules of family and the rules of conduct in family and work that's coming, or does it apply to the text before? If you were to open your Bibles, these Bibles here, the entire part of Ephesians that we're in is in one page. So you can see the development of the thought. And the development of the thought, I think, is so vital that I want to go back over it. Especially this text. This is the ESV translation. Take a look at it with me. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want you to see something here on the text. Let's go to the next slide. Because this is not really that great of a translation. That word reverence is the word phobos, where we get phobic from, like hydrophobic or agoraphobic, the fear, you know, that fear. That does not say reverence in the original. It says fear. And when I find something like this in the Bible, when I find something like in a text where the word submit and the word fear, two very unpopular words in modern Christianity or in the modern world, I would call them dirty words, really, in a lot of ways. Dirty words to us. Fear is at an all-time low being taught in the church. We don't think about the fear of God. We don't talk about it because it doesn't really sit well in our culture. And the word submit. But I wanted to ask a question today as we go into this. I want to ask a question. Why are they put together? Why are they put together in this verse? Why pack two of the most difficult ideas that are in the Bible, submission and the fear of God, into one verse? And I think the Lord, this is why I want to go over this again as we talk even about family. Two dirty words in our culture, and even in our Christian culture, submission and fear. My natural attitude, at least the attitude that's all around me in my city, is what? I submit to no one, right? I submit to no one. I submit to no one. Take a look here at this wonderful flag you all have seen before. You remember this one? It's called the Gadsden flag from the Revolutionary War. Is that the spirit of our nation or what? Is that the spirit of our culture or what? No submission. Don't you tread on me. You know, it's like submission's a bad word. And then there's this stupid logo that's really popular now. You really can't see it. Can you kind of see it? It's a bumper sticker. No fear. This is the stupidest bumper sticker I've ever seen in my life. It's one of the stupidest slogans I can think of. And I'm a rock climber. fear. Fear is such a gift from God. It's such an essential thing. But these kinds of memes, these kinds of ideas, these kinds of really empty ideas are all over our culture, and they inform it, and they form it in deep ways. Let's take a look here. And against all of that, against don't tread on me or no fear is what? Comes the word of God. And this verse 5:21 to me is so foundational because of the way it reveals Jesus. It's so foundational because it's the work of the Spirit. It's so foundational that the only way we're going to make it is if we're learning how to submit to one another out of the fear of Christ. I think that's the only way we make it. And so this is the idea I want to explore today. I want to excavate together. And as we take a look here at the screen, this is the three point development that the text will take, that the message will take. Because we must all submit to one another out of the fear of Christ, we must fill up with all of the Spirit, we must learn how to fear Christ, and we must seek the Spirit's work in family. Because that's really what we look at today is family. So I want to keep going here. I want to go back to this text. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. This text is the anchor for everything that comes after. Because look what being filled with the Spirit looks like. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting. Let's go to the next. I want to show you something. This is a package deal. Did you get that? This is meant to be a coherent experience in the church. A coherent experience that is only quickened, enabled, and possible because of what? The presence of the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Look at what happens here. Filled up with the Holy Spirit. But then, what does that look like? It's filled up with the Bible. What are we doing? We're addressing one another with psalms. What's in you? We're talk is Bible. We fill up other people's. With Bible, with Scripture. And then it says, singing and make melody in your hearts to God. What is that? A praise-drenched life. Giving thanks. What are you filled up? You're filled with worship and filled with thankfulness. Do you see? You know what this is like? This is like a building tide. It's a building momentum. It's a building reality. It's a building beauty, isn't it? Because then what happens? Then and only then. We're able to submit to one another out of fear of Christ. If we ignore the package, it doesn't work. It's all or nothing with Jesus. It's always like that with him, right? And let's hope. I'm hoping. Oh, let's keep going. What is Spirit-filled submission? Now, I was thinking, how do I define this? And this is the definition I came up with. I want you guys to pay attention to this. Spirit-filled submission. I'm sitting down because I'm under this too. Spirit-filled submission is the joyful surrender of your rights, privileges, and needs for the benefit and increase of another's rights, privileges, and needs. I'm inviting you to not come to church anymore for you, but for Ted and for me and for Kyoko and for Jack, for others. I'm asking you to serve for others. How do I know that's what Spirit-filled submission is? How do I know that definition is so accurate? If you read Philippians 2, this is what Jesus did. Wasn't it? To save us. He left his Father's throne in glory, all the privileges and rights as the king and ruler of the whole universe, and became what? A peasant. To live and to die and to suffer to save us. That we might have what? The rights and privileges of heaven. This surrender. This is Jesus. This is what we're asking him to create amongst us. You see? And you see why it has to be Spirit-filled now? You're not going to make this out of your own flesh. You're not going to serve me or love me or submit to me. And I'm not going to serve you or love you or submit to you. Unless what? Unless something else is moving. Unless something has really changed about me, right? And what is my hope in the gospel, in Jesus? That the Jesus who's like this can make me like him. Amen? He can make us like him. That's hope. There's hope for this. This isn't just some crazy ideal. This has happened and can happen in the church. We see it in the early church. Let's keep going. We must fill up with all of the Spirit. It's a beautiful whole picture. There's a wholeness to all these things. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husband, love your wives. Now, the wholeness of that, or the wholeness of fathers, don't provoke your children. Children, obey your parents. You see how that works together? Fathers who aren't provoking can create obedience in their children. It's easier to be obedient, isn't it, to a father that's not demanding of things that are inappropriate of you, and vice versa, right? It's easier for a father to not be a provocateur when his child is yielded to him in obedience. These are complete pictures, you see, and they're beautiful pictures. The husband and wife one, I'll never forget this, I wanted to share it with you. There was a lesbian woman that came to my church for a solid year in Atlanta. We came very close, very close. And she was in my house. We were sitting there talking about the gospel, and she was not a Christian. And she said, you know, I just think that, you know, she's a radical feminist, and I was describing to her this text. She had problems with this text. And she had been married for 10, 15 years, and she had just come to a realization that that wasn't who she was. And well, I shared with her that wives are called to submit to their husbands, and they're called to submit to a love that is sacrificing everything for their wives. You see how beautiful it is? If you're called to submit to somebody who's giving their life up to you, that's a beautiful submission, right? She looked at me, she started crying. I was holding her hand. She started crying. And she said, I don't believe that's possible. That's so beautiful. I don't think that's possible. Do you think it's possible? Do you believe in the beauty God can create by the presence and power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit? By us being Bible-filled, worship-filled, thanksgiving-filled, Spirit-filled? Using this text for control is misuse. Now, here's the problem. People have taken the Word of God and made it a mandate for Western culture and said, look at us, look how we've done, and completely missed the beauty of this text. Using these words of a holy God about mutual submission as an opportunity to what? To tell women to stay in their place. Or to tell children they have no choice about how, oh, it's just horrible things have entered the kingdom. Horrible truths, and they're active right now. I know teachers who are doing this and destroying people. It's awful. Anybody who, if you use these texts to beat people up and to billy club them, you haven't understood them. You've just used the Word of God as a mandate for your own control. And that is never what grace does. Ever. The Spirit knows nothing of that. Amen? May that never be seen among us. But what about when it doesn't work? What about this beautiful picture when there's abuse and when there's misuse and when there's a lot of sin gets in there and you get frustrated with each other? What about then? Let's keep going. We must learn how to fear Christ. Let's go keep going. Why is fear talked about with submission? Continue here. Why does this text bring it up? Fearing Jesus. By the way, the fear of Christ, I think this is the only text in the New Testament that uses that expression. It's really, really remarkable. But the reason I think it brings it up is because all submission in the world is based on fear. Why do you go to work every day? Why do you do what you do? Why do you listen to your parents? Keep going. Because of fear of man, or fear of failure, or fear of poverty, or fear of death, or a fear of being alone, or a fear of being hurt, or a fear of being abused, a fear of missing out, fear of rejection, fear of punishment, fear of embarrassment, fear of consequences, fear of submission, right? Most of why we do things is because we're scared of what might happen if we don't. That's a bad map of the world, isn't it? What a miserable way for us to live. And he is answering why everybody he knows in the Roman Empire lives in constant fear. The Roman Empire, their boss, and even their father. Remember when Drew was talking about how the paterfamilias and the code of conduct in the Roman Empire could execute his own kids without any explanation? Wow. Most of life can be described as navigating daily the map of all our fears. But the fear of Christ is a whole different map. I want you to see something really beautiful. Well, first of all, fear of God, fear of Christ. This is a little thing I want to talk about occasionally, and it's called annoying Christian conversations. Annoying Christian, you've had these, we all have them. They're annoying Christian conversations. Fear of God is one of those ones that brings up these annoying questions. And this is usually the way it goes. First person goes, you know, you don't fear God enough because he might become for you. And fear of God, you know, we need more fear of God in these days. Annoying Christian number one, you know, the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You should be more scared of God punishing you. And then that's a bad form of that teaching. It's a terrible way to put it. And then it's put by another Christian who's trying to correct the first Christian. And usually this conversation goes back and forth, saying this essentially the same thing over and over again. Has anybody been in one of these conversations? We all have. We've all been there. They don't go anywhere. Annoying Christian number two. Well, in the New Testament, which really updates the teaching, we're told that perfect love casts out fear. I ain't scared of God at all. Get over this either-or mentality in your head, right? Stop thinking like, the scripture is full of rich nuance and beauty about the truth of God, and it's one of the things that makes it true. And listen to the scriptures. Both those annoying Christians are getting close to the truth, right? But they're not putting the whole truth together. Let's take a look here. The conversation goes nowhere. Fearing Jesus is what? It's being stunned, amazed, overwhelmed, in awe of, and sometimes a bit frightened of God's eternal love. Look at this now. With you there is forgiveness, that you may be what? I love that the writer here actually posits, and this is Old Testament, not New Testament, that the very warrant for why you should be in such awe of God himself is what? That he's the one who forgives. Usually you think, oh, I should be fear of God because he's the one that punishes. Huh. You haven't got it right. You should really fear him because he's the God who chooses to forgive. So your entire life should be like a question of, it governs everything you think. How do I make sure he's forgiven me? I want to make sure he's forgiving me. That's godly fear in action. Yeah, but here's the beautiful thing about fearing Christ. You can only fear one thing at a time. So fear of Christ kicks out, renders useless, makes irrelevant, and eclipses all of the fears of this world. Can I get an amen for this slide? Come on. Amen. Including what? Our fear of submission. It's hard to describe this. One of the things I miss most in my life right now is climbing. Aristotle talked about how certain things can clean out emotion in us. Like when we watch a movie about vengeance, it clears out some of that vengeful feeling, and there's something cathartic and cleansing about these things. And let me tell you something. When you're about 1,000 feet in the air, you're about 10 feet above the last piece of protection called a nut you just put in the wall, and you're thinking, I'm going to fall, you start shaking. It's called sewing machine leg. It looks a little bit like this. And you can't stop it, which it really isn't helpful for this when you're trying to hold on to rock, right? I love those moments so much because I forget everything else. I'm serious. I've gone down off a climb and then felt so clean inside, so fresh, because there's something about real fear and proper fear and good fear and healthy fear. You know, every once in a while I'll meet somebody who says, I'm not afraid of heights. And I would never climb with such an idiot. If you're not afraid of heights, you're just a moron and you're dangerous. Heights can kill you. They can also bring you wonder and awe. But I have great fear and respect for them. I long for that catharsis sometimes. That catharsis is available to us when we fear Christ. Come, let's keep going here. The fear of Christ is a heart matter, though. I must lie down where all ladders start, in the foul rag and bone shop of the heart. This is Yeats. He wasn't even a Christian. He wasn't even a believer. And he talks about how inspiration, even for him, comes out of the filth of his heart. What's in the filth of my heart? Take a look. That's me. See, one reason I wanted to use this is, you want to open my heart at all? That's me. Don't you tell me what to do. I am my own man. Don't you dare tread on me. Who conquers the snake? Jesus does. Praise him. Even the snake that's in your heart that says, I'm, how many of you have that in your gut? Don't you tell me to submit, buddy. Huh? How many of us, bridle? We need a work of God. Let's keep going. Let's go here. I did a paraphrase of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. If you've got Jesus and trust and submit to him, then he's made a whole new thing in this world, a new person. Are you one of those new people? I'm so excited to be one. The old rebel is gone. He's gone. He still lingers. He wants to come back. He's gone with all of his fears. And a new human being is here without a snake in their hearts, refusing to submit. Oh, do you know Jesus like this? Has he done that heart work? Oh, I hope so. Let's go to our text this morning. Because we must all submit to one another out of the fear of Christ, we must seek the Spirit's work in family. Take a look at this with me. When I was first dating Tao, I was talking about something about a family. She said something to me. And it was one of the things, you know how when you're looking for a mate, you're looking for somebody who, you're looking for wisdom. You want somebody who understands the world in deep ways. And when she said to me, I was making a comment about a family or something. She goes, well, you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. See, this is tricky. Family, getting into family, getting my fingers in there, going from preaching to meddling, as they say. Yeah. The reason I say this is that you know the truth of your marriages and your families. You know them. Nobody else does, really. And the other people in your family know them with you. That creates great challenges for my wife to listen to my preaching. You should pray for her about that. I'm not kidding about this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As we look at this, I want to pull out of this a bunch of teaching for us that's more practical about submission. Go ahead and change that slide for me, brother. And our families must seek the Spirit's work. And I was just taking a look at the text together. Let's first look at this text we had that was read this morning. Let's look at the commands. Now, change the slide. This is the sermon text from this morning. And one of the things I've done is I've highlighted those four areas: obey, honor, do not provoke, bring them up. The reason I'm doing this is the ESV, mass in its translation, something you cannot see in the Greek. And these, that means, what I'm saying is these are imperatives. These are thou shalt's. These are commands. These are not options. They are not suggestions. They are commands from the living God. You can't see that in this translation, and that frustrates me. So every time I come across it, I'm informing you so you know, because you're accountable to this now. You're accountable to the commands of the living God. Obey, you know, and all these things. And this, by the way, you say, oh, wait, I don't have a family. I don't have kids. Right? No. Look around. God gave you this family. You got a family. You've got fathers. Jack's one of your fathers. Ted's one of your fathers. I'm one of your fathers in the Lord at times. There's all sorts of applications for all these things and all these principles. The way what Paul's doing, he's taking the ideal of principle of submission and just working it out. You see? Working it out. You need to work it out too. There's going to be situations that these don't describe, right? This is not an exhaustive list of every single situation you're going to find yourself having to submit. But these are principles. These are ways of you learning the ropes about what submission really looks like. Now, so I want you to see, it's you must obey, you must honor, you must not provoke, you must bring them up. Let's continue. Now, not only that, there's another work here I want the Spirit to do. Keep going. Synonyms by the Spirit. These are not true synonyms. Submit and obey are not true synonyms, are they? They don't mean the same thing. But by the Spirit, they come from the same place. They're manifestations of the same principles. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because let's say you're in a meeting at work, and your boss is talking, and your temptation is to drone him out, right? We're going to talk more about work next week. Maybe you could do this with your own family. This is inviting you to think like this. All right, now, if obedience and not provoking or loving and all these different ways I can express submission, which one should I express here? You see, that's what it's kind of a. You need the Spirit to help you do this, but this is a clue to think through how you ought to be submitting. You know, when I was working with Drew, one of the most beautiful things about our relationship was this mutual submitting, because. It's a beautiful thing to constantly have to do together and to working together. There's going to be situations for like this for you and me, for all of us, right? Because no one's exempt. Everybody's got to submit. There is no option in the kingdom. Jesus submitted. He submitted to us. We can never refuse anybody else. Now, we'll look at work next week. Well, let's continue. I want you to think this is inviting you to understand, to ask for spiritual wisdom, to understand where your command is. Actually, can we get back to that? Go back to that slide. I took out one of these ideas, but I'm going to put it back in here. I want you to see, too, how wisely limiting these are. And that's part of the sin of how wisely they're thinking. In some cultures, you obey your parents your entire life, don't you? Some cultures, it's not questioned. You're supposed to obey your parents until you die, or they die, right? Some cultures teach that. The scriptures are correcting that. That was Roman culture. The scriptures are, what children obey your parents. That's an important limit, isn't it? It's a wonderful limit. Here's another limit here. Fathers, don't provoke. Okay, an elder leadership, where there's a temptation to want to motivate people or get somebody or demand things, right? To demand things from people. We're being asked to think about that, because that's not acts of demanding. Being have a demanding spirit is what? It's not submissive. It's not a submissive heart. And so one of the things I love about this is these actual commands have such a wisdom about them. You never stop honoring your father and mother, right? Because you always honor. But as children, we obey. You see how these things change based upon the context? We need to be wise in how we use the synonyms of the Holy Spirit. Let's continue now. We only have two more things of application for us. Submission has unforeseen benefits. Keep going. When I was one of the most charming things that happened at the Anglican meeting, is I saw this bishop get consecrated. I think they call it. I watched him get consecrated. I kind of wanted to meet him, you know, and I wanted to say hi. And you could tell they're bishops because they got purple on. So it's really easy to figure everything out. You know what they say? You don't want to meet people, your heroes, because they disappoint you. Have you ever met a hero and been like, oh gosh, he's not what I thought? I was a little nervous, but I happened to meet him anyway. He was in the room, and he was saying, I've been praying for your church. I'm like, well, that's nice. And he goes, yeah, let me, we just talked for just a moment. He goes, I just got to share that God has broken my heart in submission lately, and I realized how much I resisted it and how he was teaching me. He just be a bishop. He's the boss. That's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? What's the boss saying? What's the boss saying? When he's got the title, and he's got the clothes, and he's got the colors, and he's got it, what is he saying? He's living this way. I love that. I love that. Because it transforms everything. It's joy. There's unintended benefits. And that's what he was telling me. When we learn how to submit to one another, when we really don't want to, when we really have our own will that wants to fight. I will say this for myself. Learning to submit and submitting when I didn't want to had benefits. Here it's long life. This is the first commandment with a benefit. That's what happens in the Ten Commandments. When it says honor your father, there's a promise attached. It's the first one with a promise. That it may go well with you and that you may live long. What? So that it's good and long. So your life is good and it's long and prosperous. That is the gift that submission gives. And you won't see it, because all we see when we see submission is a threat, right? All we see is a threat. Let's go to our last point. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. I bring this up because that's not in the ESV. And I just love that expression. It's the old KJV, the King James Version. I think it's better poetry. I think it's a better line. The nurture and the admonition. I love it because nurture, this paideia word of bringing, nurturing, and loving, but correcting and instructing as we do this. When I get to this last one, the reason I put it here is I wanted you to see how we're coming back to the beginning. It's a package deal, right? It's a package deal. It includes everything about knowing God and everything about growing in Him and being nurtured in Him and admonished in Him and by His Word. And you see what I'm saying here? This, come full circle. This is what it's all about. And the fact that the nurture and admonition of the Lord is the command to fathers is a command to you, Chris, and to every one of you in your homes and wherever you are, to be committed to the entire enterprise, right? Of all God, our Father teaches in all the ways He loves. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask for this work in us. We can be such a stubborn people. We can be so self-willed, so protecting our rights, protecting our privileges. And as we protect them, we get more desperate. We give them all up to You. We praise You that Your Son was such an example of gentle, beautiful, whole, heartfelt submission. I don't even know if I've ever had a submission like that in me. But I thank You that You're working in me. And You're working in all of us. If any of us had a pure heart of surrender, but we know what You can do. We've seen what You can do, and we ask You to do more, Father. We ask for the anointing. I ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit this very week upon My people and on myself, that we would know and be animated by a true fear of Christ that leads to submissive hearts. Submit it first and foremost to You. Father, this is a work You're going to have to do. I'm putting it on You. I'm putting on You for every person that can hear My voice. Do this thing for the glory of Jesus. Amen.